Do you or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
Imagine that you were 50 or older, 60 or 70. Maybe you are. Maybe you don't have to imagine that. But this I hope you have to imagine, that you are thrust into retirement. You've got laid off or fired, but you still have job juice left, or you need to work because you need the money. And so you feel your only option is self-employment. But you haven't been self-employed your whole life. It's not like you're one of these born entrepreneurs. You didn't even have a lemonade stand when you were a kid. What do you do? Well, I'm going to have a bunch of ideas for what someone who is older and would like to take their shot at self-employment, even though they're not a born entrepreneur. We're going to talk about high payoff, low investment, low risk, simple businesses that are particularly well suited to people 50 plus. But I'd like to start by telling you a short story, what they call flash fiction. The year was 1991. Although Alex rarely made salesperson of the month, he was always at least middle of the pack. But as he passed 60, his sales dwindled. And at age 70, he had a heart attack and retired. The office threw him the requisite reminiscing and roasting party, and Alex retreated to a life of long breakfasts, photography, and doctor's appointments. But he was sad at his uselessness. So Alex asked his former boss if he could just sit at a desk weekday mornings when most of the real estate agents were out prospecting or not working. Alex showed up every morning at 9. He would do crossword puzzles while listening to talk radio, not fake news talk radio, good KALW talk radio, or he'd listen to Broadway show tunes. For his birthday, his daughter had given him a senior-friendly cell phone, I think, what do they call them, crickets or something, that she loaded with his favorite songs. One morning, while listening to Bally High, a song from South Pacific, and immersed in the local newspaper's crossword puzzle, he was startled by a tap on his shoulder. It was a beautiful 25-year-old. Are you there, Barbara?
My name's Rebecca.
Oh, God.
Are you a real estate agent?
His license was still active, and so this is live radio for you. This is not fake radio. This is live radio. Why don't you say, you did it so poorly the last time, why don't you say it again?
Hi, my name is Rebecca. Are you a real estate agent?
Alex's license was still active, and so he nodded.
I'm looking to buy a house, but I don't know if I can afford what I want. It can be small, but I grew up in an apartment that looked onto a gas station, so I'd really love a view.
And with the wisdom and the lack of hunger that sometimes comes with age, Alex asked, wouldn't you be more compatible with an agent who's closer to your age?
I've never met a salesperson who tries to talk me out of buying from him, especially a big-ticket item like a house. You're honest. I think I'd like to hire you.
And that energized even the tired Alex, and he summoned every atom of energy to try to find a home that would work for Rebecca. Of course, the two of them combed the multiple listings website and other online sources. Of course, Alex drove Rebecca to many possible houses, but none worked. So then, every day, Alex spent hours by himself driving every block of the parts of Oakland with a view. And every time he saw a small home in bad condition, the only ones that would be affordable, he left a handwritten note in the mailbox asking if the owner might be interested in selling. Alex left over 100 notes. He got 3 responses, and one, not great, but it was acceptable. The rooms were small, only one room had a view, And as an older house, the windows were small, but it was affordable, barely. To make the deal close, Alex called on lots of his old lending officers until he twisted the arm of one to not only give her a loan, but at a decent rate. But then the pest control report came in, $110,000. But Alex showed it to one of the fix-it guys he had long used. The guy said, those pest control companies, I can do it for 30 grand. And so when Rebecca threw a party for her new house, Alex, who had drawn on a lifetime of experience and connections, was the guest of honor. But on October 19th, 1991, the Oakland, California Fire Department failed to fully put out a grass fire, and as a result, 2,843 single-family homes and 437 apartments and condos were destroyed, including Rebecca's. Alex stood next to Rebecca, surveying what was left: the foundation, the fireplace, and the rubble. And Alex said, "You'll rebuild."
"No, we will."
And 3 years later, thanks to the insurance, and Alex, and his lifetime of experience and wisdom, and sometimes the drive that comes with age and fear of growing irrelevancy, Rebecca had the home of her dreams, including, from three rooms, that big, beautiful view. Now, yes, that was a short story, but I have been privileged to have had many clients who have real stories, not quite as dramatic as this, but real stories that have enabled them, even though they're 50-plus, 60-plus, even 70-plus, been able to be successfully self-employed, even though they were not born entrepreneurs, had no experience. But first, that voice I was chastising, but then who straightened up and flew right, Dr. Barbara Nemco. I'm not going to give you the usual fancy introduction. You're my wife and the Napa County Superintendent of Schools, and a pleasure to have you on, Dr. Nemco.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's start sharing some simple, low-risk businesses that are particularly well-suited to older people and older people who have not yet run their own business. So let's take that example first. I'd like to start, and then you can go next. We'll alternate. Commission-based work. It's one of the things that employers are much less reluctant to hire, is somebody who's purely based on commission. This guy who we talked about, this Alex, he was basically sitting on a desk, and the employer had nothing to lose by saying, "Oh, sure, go and sell the house." It didn't cost him anything. It was commission he otherwise wouldn't have gotten. And older people tend to do well, particularly at selling to older people, like long-term care insurance. Or there's so many boomers who are now looking at senior housing. They're more likely to buy from somebody who's 50-plus, 60-plus, 70-plus than somebody who's a 25-year-old whippersnapper. So commission-based work is often a very smart idea for senior people who need to be self-employed, and it doesn't require you starting your own business with a lot of expenses. Okay, Barbara, you got one for us?
I'll tell you my favorite one.
Great.
Helping older people to downsize.
Oh.
People frequently want to move into some kind of senior housing, and it's smaller than that four-bedroom, three-bath house they may have raised their kids in.
Right.
What to get rid of, what to do with it, and it's so hard for people to make those decisions. That's one way that you can be a consultant and come in and help, and then you can also help sell things on eBay. Second thing is many seniors have trouble just organizing their lives. I'm thinking of someone I know who hired somebody to help with the bills. She would forget where she put them. She'd forget to pay them. They'd be scattered. Also organizing medications, putting them in some kind of they have these different pill containers with days of the week. And while that seems so obvious to us, if you are an older person and you have multiple medications to take, it can be confusing. So helping seniors to adjust to the new reality.
I really love that idea. I could call it Elder Helper. And because it doesn't require any money to start, you don't need inventory, you don't need a storefront. You don't even need highly technical skills. It's clearly a helpful thing. And indeed, you're absolutely right. I know somebody who has got a PhD, and he has to take care of his spouse's medications. And it is confusing even to him, because some have to be cut in half, some have to be every day, some other day, some in the morning, some in the evening. It can, you know, you've got to count out the week at a time. It can be confusing even for a fully compassmentous person. So I couldn't agree with you more. I love that idea. So let me share another one. One of the things that older people, again, have an advantage is in being a fundraiser. Because most people who have money have needed time to acquire that money. So they tend to be older. And also, as we get older and we're maybe not as worried that we're going to be homeless and a bag lady or a bag man, although that has a different meaning, you know, they can feel more generous with their dollars. And so older people tend to be good fundraisers because they are dealing with their age peers and we're more comfortable. Again, if I'm 60, I'm going to be more comfortable talking about a possible donation with a fundraiser who's 60 or 70 or 80 or 50 than somebody who's 23. So there is a wonderful example of a kind of, and they don't, most of these organizations don't need a full-time fundraiser. They need a fundraiser to pitch a certain small number of people who might be particularly compatible. Let's say, for example, you have been a political activist and that's been a part of your life. And the potential donor has also been for that nonprofit may well want to pair you up because you have that natural political affinity. And that's not a full-time job, but it's something because you're bringing in money for the organization, they can afford to pay you quite well. And speaking of fundraising, this is the only twice a year. This is, you know, this show, this Work with Marty Nemco is anomalous. It's not like many of the other shows. It's one of the few public service helping shows specifically designed to help you as an individual. And so if you like Work with Marty Nemco, this is really the only hour that during the entire fund drive that you have the opportunity to say thank you. And every dollar really is a vote for Work with Marty Nemco. And so the basic membership is $50. The phone number 1-800-525-9917, and a click is as good as a call. So if you'd rather not talk to our friendly volunteer, just go to kalw.org. And as a thank you gift, I'm going to give you an extra special thank you gift this time. I was planning to give you a copy of my 2017 new second edition of The Best of Marty Nemco. I've written 3,000 articles. I know that's crazy, but it's true. The Best 66. But I want to make a special thank you to you. This is really something I've never had to say, but I have to say the truth. Last week, I told the listeners that I had been informed by station management that they thought the listeners might be better served with a replacement program. And I get a call this Thursday, an email this Thursday, from Matt Martin, a station manager, who said, I have spent much of my week answering calls and letters protesting you're being taken off the air. I keep talking about how KLW is the engaged station, a listener responsive rather than corporate motivated station. He's putting me back on the air. And even more, because of the listeners, not anything else, he, instead of being stuck in his ways like, you know, certain people we know, he's moving me to even a better time slot. So sometime in October, date yet undetermined, mid to end October, the show is going to be on from 7 to 8 p.m. on Thursday nights. And that is thanks to you. And so that is my long-winded way of saying that I'm adding an additional thank you gift. I've actually have two new books out in this year, 2017, not just The Best of Marty Nemco, but Modern Fables, which are short stories like the one I've just read to you that have life lessons. And for the same $100 that we would have that would have been the donation amount, I'm going to give you two autographed copies of both books and my deep thanks for your supporting work with Marty Nemco. It is a meaningful thing in my life, and I hopefully it's been helpful to you. The phone number, whether it's at the $50 level or the $100 level for the two books, or there have been some people who've donated a dollar a day, $365, or even one person donated $5,000 a number of years ago. The phone number, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, or if you'd rather click than call, KALW.org. Barbara Nemco, what are you honestly, one thing you know is true about this show is we try to be as authentic and honest as we can be. What do you honestly and authentically want to say at this point to our listeners to perhaps encourage them to support work with Marty Nemco in this only hour that they can do that during this entire fund drive?
Well, first I'd like to say thank you because you have always supported the show in the past during fund drives.
Yes.
And we've always been so... we've always felt very rewarded that you've done that.
Absolutely. Even though we don't get a penny of it, but absolutely.
Right, but it's psychically very
absolutely.
Rewarding.
Absolutely, 100%.
And second, I would like to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for those of you who did call in or send emails to the station. We saw some of them you sent to us as well, and it brought tears to my eyes. So we are most grateful and happy that the show is still going to be on the air. And if you would like to make a contribution to KALW for being public radio, so many things that we fall in love with, a program on television, a shade of lipstick, suddenly is discontinued. And you can write all the letters you want. It's gone. In this case, you wrote letters, and it's not gone. So thank you, public radio. Thank you, station manager Matt Martin. And anyone who would like to make a contribution to KALW, once again, it's a vote for work with Marty Nemco.
1-800-525-9917. You know, every station talks about caring about the listeners, being responsive to the listeners. Well, I can tell you firsthand that 100%, if it weren't for the listeners, I'd be off the air. It was Matt Martin, listened and changed his mind. We all get so frustrated. So many politicians are proud. I stick to my guns. No. The real intelligent person is open to new input and is willing to say, you know, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I need to revisit this. And I can tell you for sure that that is what KELW has done and Matt Martin has done. So if that's the kind of radio, truly listener-supported, listener-responsive radio, that's engaged radio. Every dollar you pledge during this hour is a special vote for responsive, non-fake, really listener-responded-to radio. 1-800-525-9917. And for $100, I will give you autographed copies of my two 2017 books, The Best of Marty Nemco, as well as Modern Fables. And now, as part of the Truth in Advertising, let's keep that pledge drive short. Let's go back to doing you hearing what you really want to hear, which is some good ideas for senior self-employment. Barbara, you've got one for us?
Okay, here's another of my favorites.
Okay.
There are lots of seniors who are single, and they're probably not going out to the bar scene. Mm-hmm. Young people go online, but many seniors are just not terribly adept or comfortable with going online. So, become a senior dating profile consultant.
Mm-hmm.
You can help seniors. You might help them with writing or editing their online dating profile. You might be the person who takes the picture. You might help them choose from among photos they already have. And you can be the person who uploads it and teaches them how to navigate and what things to look for as they're thinking about who to respond to and in what ways they want to respond and how they want to communicate.
There's even, I'm sorry, please.
Because I think we spend a lot of time telling young people mm-hmm. about the dangers of online dating and always meet in a public place and blah, blah, blah. But seniors may not have thought about dating in the last 45 years. So they're not thinking in quite the same way. So a senior dating profile consultant can be a great help. And again, no cost to start your business.
There's an additional service that that kind of a person could do. So many times people, especially when they're older, they're insecure. They're insecure about their body, which no longer looks like it was when they were younger. They may lower their standards to people that they really shouldn't be dating in desperation. They may not have good antenna for reading between the lines of when they're deciding whether to swipe right or swipe left on Tinder or otherwise on OkCupid or Senior Singles or Match.com or whatever. They may not have a good kind of intuitions for really who is likely to be a good person, a person of quality, who's not likely to be having, you know, who's where there isn't a lot of honesty. You know, there's a lot of fake news even in dating websites where people have pictures that are 10 years old or that are grainy and distant so you don't see what they're really like. So being a good senior dating profile consultant is not just about creating one, but could actually help the person in vetting people, and that because all of us, for relationships along with work, are the two most important things in our lives. And so people who are interested in getting and having a romantic relationship might well be willing to spend some bucks to increase the chances of finding Mr. or Ms. Right. So I really like that idea. Barbie,
and then one other thing.
Yeah, go on.
We tend to be modest. And when you're older, you may think, well, what do I have to offer anybody? Some consultant who is much more objective than you are can talk to you and tease out all of the really positive attributes that you have and things that you do have to offer someone that you might meet and help you in crafting how you're going to say that. This is not, if you're going to be online looking to meet someone, it's really not the best time to hide your light under a bushel.
Makes a lot of sense. You know, normally we don't take calls during the fun drive because of the confusion around the phones, but Joanne has been able to figure out how to do it, so we've got a call with I'm
wow.
giving out the phone number. Let's go to the phones. Welcome. Should I give out the phone number, Joanne, for callers? What do you feel? No. Yes? No? I need an answer.
Hello?
Yeah, okay, well, anyway, you're welcome. You're on the air. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
Oh.
What's on your mind?
I'm calling from Half Moon Bay.
Hi.
And I just was wondering, you know, a lot of people do this, and they do it with very good intentions. You're making a senior citizens somewhat sound like a group of doddering old out of it.
I didn't mean to imply that, but certainly, you know...
I grew up on the computer, and I worked with tech
right.
companies at the earliest, at the beginnings, and many of us who did are now seniors, so we know more, you know, we have more facility with that. I guess I'm just a little gobsmacked at how, like, everyone is, the characterization is so unlike the people I know.
Well, I'm really glad that you certainly issued a useful reminder that people who are over 50 or over 60 or even over 70 do not necessarily have one foot in the grave and don't know how to turn on the computer. So thanks very much for calling Work with Marty and Barbara.
Thank you.
Yeah. Really, people, you know, chronological age is not necessarily the best reflection. I know people who are 52 and are kind of really done, to use the term. And then there are others who are 70-plus who are still quite vibrant, and that's the dangers of any ism. Barbie, you want to say anything about that, or you want to suggest another...
No, I just wanted to say that, obviously, we're definitely both past 50. We're not suggesting that all seniors are, but there are many who sometimes because of illness, the woman that I was referring to earlier who hired someone to help her organize is very bright and very capable until she had a health issue and it wrecked her eyesight and she has difficulty walking. And so she had, and also she doesn't sleep well anymore. So even though she's young, she's in her early 60s, she can't do many of the things that she could do before. So this wasn't meant as an indictment that all seniors are totally incapable. This is for those who might need that help.
Okay, well, in the spirit of total honesty, you admitted to being over 50. How about say we're both over 60? And, you know, I mentioned...
I haven't admitted to that yet. Speak for yourself, pal.
The point is to say we are both working as full-time as ever, and if anything, I think we've got more expertise. And, you know, we've actually... I know you have, and I have, too. Because we don't, there is a stereotype that people who are older are techno idiots. We have both made huge efforts to try to be absolutely technologically current. I am very aware of apps for my clients, the websites, etc. And you, at about age 58 or something, decided that you wanted to become an expert in educational technology. And now you've won 3 or 4 national awards past age 60 for leadership in educational technology. So we're the last people in the world who think that automatically when you pass 60, you should sign up for even AARP, let alone assisted living. What do you think, Barb?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like anything else. If you have a service, you're offering it for some small segment of the market, and that's what we were talking about, the small segment of the market that may need these services.
Absolutely. You know, I might, speaking of which, you know, even though I am over 60, there's a free event that I'm talking, doing the future of work. Again, and this is a real important takeaway, dear listeners, as you get older, it becomes more important that you redouble your efforts to stay current. And so I have focused as much as I can on the future. So my talk at Berkeley, and it's free, just Google the future of work and the word Berkeley and the word NEMCO. It's free Tuesday night at 6:30 at University Hall, which is at 1999, I think, University Avenue. It's free. I'd love to see you. I'd love to see KLW listeners. Come, it's free. But the point is, please, everybody, you know, not everybody has to be future-oriented and techno-nerd, but certainly it would help keep you fresh and keep you from being perceived as irrelevant by trying to stay current and even future-oriented, because the future is about the Internet of Things. It is about artificial intelligence. It is about deep learning. It is about automation, as well as other things. And the more you can at least be knowledgeable enough to talk that, the better, the less irrelevant you will seem. Barbara, anything there?
No, let's move on.
Let's move on. I've been talking a bunch, so why don't you suggest another senior self-employment idea that would work for people who aren't necessarily born self-employed, born entrepreneurs?
Well, one of my favorites is something that's more in the volunteer category. And I guess we're going to do that later.
Yeah, let's focus on making money, because we're talking about the difficult issue of, you know, you've been laid off or fired after 60 or after 50, and you're not very good. There is ageism, and it is not so easy to get hired.
Okay,
so you're forcing self-employment.
One of the things that you can do that's fairly simple is helping people run estate or garage sales. A lot of people have a lot of stuff that they don't need anymore. They would love to sell, but it seems like a daunting project to go through the house and the garage and figure out what can go, and then to price the things, and then to set it up, and take in the money, and do all of that. So if that's something that you're comfortable doing, it's kind of in the organizing area, but again, it's you get some percentage of the profits of what comes in, and it's something that you can start without any income that you have to put up to get the business started.
And it's another example of where age is a plus. Not so much with the garage sales, but with estate sales. Excuse me. People who are running estate sales are generally older. They're typically boomers whose aging parents, who are of the, quote, greatest generation, have passed on. And they're having to, they have emotional ties to all the items. They may not want to part with it, really, but they know they should. And getting a third party to deal with that, the emotions and the practicalities, is something, again, that an older person, if I am a boomer, I would rather deal with somebody selling my parents' goods and their life's stuff. Somebody who's in my age bracket rather than somebody who's 23 who may not fully understand the emotional impact or may, I don't know. I also think older people tend to be more honest. This is a gross overgeneralization. But here's why. When you're in your 20s, you're scared. Are you going to make enough money? Are you going to be okay? You're trying to get ahead. When you're 60 or 70, you may have more of a sense of perspective. So all things being equal, because I'm dealing in a cash, you know, if I have an estate sale for my mom's or my dad's stuff, there's a lot of trust. It's a cash business. And so I all things being equal, I would sooner trust a 60-year-old. I don't know. What do you think?
I guess. I don't know. I think that would depend on the person.
All right. Let me try one more. Let's take buying and selling collectibles on eBay. eBay, again, is something you need no money or minimal money. You don't even need to buy a lot of inventory. But you take something you know a lot about. Let's say you're a stamp collector. You were a kid. Let's say you haven't collected stamps since you were 7. You still might be able to learn enough to buy at you go and you look at the listings and seeing what is selling a lot of and what is not, and you purchase the kind of stamps. Maybe it's, 19th century American stamps that are in mint, non-hinged condition with perfect perforations, really expensive ones. Buy one stamp, sell that. And so the beautiful thing about eBay is they give you pricing history so you can know approximately how to price it. And you've got the auction fever possibility. And again, you don't need a storefront. It's all fulfilled, and you know, I buy on eBay all the time, and I get these lovely, carefully wrapped packages that are by the individual. It's a simple business. You don't need to be a born entrepreneur. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great idea. And another one that's a little different, but somewhat similar, there are lots of very talented people who didn't have the opportunity while they were working full-time to pursue the talent. For example, artists who paint or draw or do things like that, people who make jewelry, who make beautiful things. Well, you can sell jewelry on Etsy, and that's something that you may love to do as a hobby, and it also can bring in some extra money. And if you are a talented artist and you paint, you can also have showings. Napa, we have open studio for a couple of weeks where people come and visit your studio, and you can sell your work right from your home or your studio. And then you can also take orders. Lots of people want to buy a painting to match the colors of their room or their sofa. And that's hard when you go in and you find something that's pre-made. But if you're meeting the artist and you like the kind of work they do, you can say, oh, I really love this. I would like something similar, but I'd like it in peach and brown.
Sounds great. And I need to be a little bit redundant. Dear listeners, those of you who listened last week know that I told you that I was being taken off the show. Work with Marty Nemco was being taken off the air. But there's been a change. And it is completely timely for me to bring it up to you because this is the one time, this 27 minutes is the only time during this fund drive that I'm going to be asking you to support Work with Marty Nemco. We hear all the time about how responsive stations are to the listeners, and it's sometimes BS. It's what the corporate sponsor wants, or it's what the station manager wants. But the station manager here at KELW, Matt Martin, after I made that announcement, I got an email 3 days later. He said, and this is pretty much a quote, I have spent much of my week answering calls and emails from listeners protesting Work with Marty Nemco being taken off the air, and I want to be responsive to my listeners. So I am changing my mind. He wasn't stuck. He was responsive to the listeners. That's real, engaged, responsive radio. And if you want to support that kind of radio and Work with Marty Nemco, every dollar you pledge right now, in just these few minutes, is a vote of support for Matt Martin, KALW, responsive radio, and yes, Work with Marty Nemco. The basic membership is just $50, and for $100, I will give you a copy of both of my new books. They're both published just in 2017. The second edition of The Best of Marty Nemco, which is my best 66 out of my 3,000 articles, as well as Modern Fables, 60 short stories that are fun to read, or sometimes very serious to read, that do embed life lessons. The phone number, at whatever level you can comfortably afford, we appreciate every dollar. Even though we don't get a penny of it, it really is a vote of thanks to Barbara Nemco, who people say is their favorite person on the show, and Marty Nemco, and Work with Marty Nemco, and most importantly, KALW. 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. And if you'd rather click than call, we have lovely, friendly volunteers. I'm sure they'd be happy to talk with you, but you can certainly Click at kalw.org. And I want to, before I, Barbara, I want to get hear what you say, but before I forget, there have been, I want to make a special thanks to people who have already donated some money during these few minutes here during this pledge drive. Ralph Page of Castro Valley, my thanks to you. Gina Telcocci, I hope, Telcocci, I hope I haven't mispronounced it, from Oakland. And Alyssa Perucci from Brisbane. I want to thank you profoundly, especially now, for supporting work with Marty Nemco and public radio, non-commercial, commercial-free public radio. Barbara Nemco, your thoughts?
Just thank you. What can I say? Really appreciate it. Of course, there is a part of me going, I'm sure there are a couple of people who are listening who are saying, oh no, I thought it was finally gone.
Yeah, I'm sure there are too. Oh my God, you know, the calls are continuing to come in. Oh my God, I have to thank some more people. I really want to. But I should first give out the phone number. $50 basic membership, $100 you get autographed copies of my two brand new books, two 2017 books, The Best of Marty Nemco and Modern Fables, 1-800-525-9917 or kalw.org. I want to thank Callie Saltzman of San Francisco. She says, I'm a big fan of work with Marty Nemco. Dennis Cuby of Berkeley writes, I'm a great fan of Marty Nemco and work with Marty Nemco and of KALW, importantly. Mike Butler of Oakland, thank you for management, for being responsive to the listeners. Wendy Beck of San Francisco, I'm a fan of Marty Nemco and the show. Reba Brindley of San Francisco, Mark Lubeck of San Jose, thank you all. I'm blown away. And now, rather than getting carried away, let's give listeners what they really want. I'll give it the phone number one more time, then back to serving our listeners. 1-800 to support work with Marty Nemco and the great KALW, listener-supported, listener-responsive, engaged KALW, 1-800-525-9917 or kalw.org. Okay, Barbara Nemco. I can't leave this topic of senior self-employment without mentioning my all-time favorite. Those of you who are listeners to the show for a long time are probably sick of it, but especially if you're older, I am a huge fan of the gift card. So Aunt John's or Aunt Mary's or Uncle John's gift cards, maybe a small chain, located near a busy commute train or bus station. Food is a little tough because there's a lot of health department regulations, but scarves, umbrellas, soap baskets, the hot San Francisco Giants hats and T-shirts, those can be really awesome ways to make
accessories for your devices, cell phone covers, iPad covers, those kinds of things.
Absolutely,
too.
These are all high margin items that are not perishable, and if you you can change it because you're self employed. You can change on a dime. You can change with the season. You can change if the Stanford basketball team has won 7 in a row. Suddenly, everybody becomes a Stanford basketball fan. And so, if your card is near a station near Palo Alto, you know you can focus on Stanford basketball caps or whatever. Anyway, anything else you want to say about making money in self-employment if you're not born to be self-employed and perhaps if you're older? Anything? I want to give you the last word, Barb.
Well, even people who have a talent with a musical instrument that they didn't have time to spend before might be giving lessons.
Good point. And again, that's something you could do at any age. And again, sometimes we are more, not always, but sometimes we're more patient when we're older. And, you know, and patience, of course, is very required as a music teacher.
Yep.
Let us turn now from, I'm kind of devoting this show to people who
we
are...
We left out tutoring. I'm sorry, just tutoring
please
in general.
Do.
Lots of kids
great
can use
example.
Some extra help in math or reading, and that's something that you can do. It pays well, and particularly if you're patient and can explain things well, that's a natural. And for grandparents who do it for their grandchildren all the time for free, this is a way of making some money for people that you may not know. And you meet some interesting people and kids.
1,000%. So it can be, there's kinds of flavors. We often think of the reading tutor or the math tutor, but specializing, for example, in autistic kids, they are particularly challenging to work with, but working with them on their behaviors, getting them to be a little more connecting, or getting rid of some of the undesirable behaviors like arm flapping and things like that, that can be really frustrating for parents, and because it's so high valued, parents are often willing to pay quite a bit of money.
And we left out the very obvious babysitting, particularly for special needs kids, because parents of special needs children do need some time to get away, even to do the simplest thing, like going to the supermarket. Because if you have a particularly needy special needs child, going to the supermarket can become an ordeal. And this way you can just go and get your grocery shopping done and have somebody who is kind and nice taking care of your child.
It's a great idea, great way to end that segment. Now, because I'm kind of devoting, I'm assuming that many of the people who are listening, because I focused in this first part of the show about careers for older people, self-employment, that there may be many older listeners. And so I thought it would be a good time to also, you know, talk about retirement. First of all, how do you figure out if you should retire? And then various things, there's a million things you could do that are perhaps not so obvious that you could do in your retirement. So, Barb, do you...
And you don't have to be retired. Sometimes people just cut down a little bit, or lots of people today cut down on work. Maybe you're in your 40s, but you've made enough money, you don't have to work full-time, and you would love to do something else and only work 4 days a week or 3 days a week. So these kinds of activities are not just retirement activities, they're leisure activities, that, and many of them are very useful.
Absolutely. But let's first, I'd like to address this issue. People are worried, should I retire? So I have five questions that it seems to me that you need to ask that will help you get clear whether you need to, you can retire all at once, glide path, Lena, like you were saying, 3 or 4 days a week, or stay working. The first thing, and this is obvious, and I try to avoid the obvious, but really, you really do need to analyze your finances, maybe with an accountant, and be confident you can afford to retire. Now, the new thing here is that in recent years, there have been a flurry of retirement calculators. On the internet, you can simply Google the term and put it in quotes, quotation mark, retirement calculator, close quotation mark, and you will see retirement calculators that will help you assess how likely you are to be able to retire without eating cat food and ramen. So that's
like
one.
That.
Okay. Next, sometimes, and this is really hard, it requires wisdom. It's asking yourself if you feel the job would actually be in better hands if someone else did it. Maybe with your training, your successor, affecting the transition. You don't want to be one of those people who are pathetic, who are hanging on as long as possible, and then it's like, it feels yucky to them, to the employer, to customers, and to you. Better to go out with pride. Develop what they call a succession plan. Next question.
That's interesting, because a colleague at the conference I was at yesterday told me that she's going to retire, and that surprised me. And she said, I have a deputy, and she has such energy and fresh new ideas, and I thought it would be really nice to get that in the role of the leader of the organization. And so I think I'm just going to retire and let her take over.
What grace. And again, that really is going out as a real winner. The third question was I alluded to before, which is whether you want to retire all at once, glide path or not. And the next question is, the reality is if you have a live-in romantic partner, if you're retired, you're going to be spending more time with that person. And will that be good for both of you? It can really be very different when you're both working and you see each other in snippets. You don't have a lot of time to get on each other's nerves. You and I have joked. If I retired, which will not happen, I hope to never retire, but I feel a long way from that. If we were spending time 24/7, what would happen?
We'd kill each other.
What would actually happen?
I think that'd be very tough. I think we'd fight a lot.
We would.
Look, people find when they go on vacation that 24/7 adds a lot of tension to the relationship that isn't there when you're separately doing a lot of the daily living things.
Yep.
So, yes, when you're retiring, that's a permanent sort of vacation 24/7.
You know, without even giving out the phone number, people are calling in, and Joanne has been kind enough to figure out how to deal with the complications of dealing with donations as well as phones. So, when she's ready, I want to be responsive to my listeners. So we can. Okay, great. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. It's your, and Barbara Nemko, of course. It is your turn on the air. What's on your mind? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to follow up on one thing about retirement and consulting.
Sure.
I retired, and as soon as I retired, I was asked to consult. I do emergency planning, health and safety, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that it was becoming more work than it was anything else. And then I learned I needed liability insurance because of the work I was doing. I was giving advice on how to store chemicals, things like that. So I stepped back, and now what I do is I consult the consultants. So there's less pressure, less stress, and it makes a whole lot easier. I have much more time to play my saxophone. And, that's just one thing to be careful of. When you go into, especially if you're a professional, if you go into the same field, what was covered by your employer may... you may need to cover yourself now. So it's just something to think about.
Absolutely.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
I want
thank
to
you.
Thank you for the call. And, you know, that's why I didn't push the consulting thing to begin with, because people hire consultants when they want high pressure, they want it now. Even if you didn't have to get your own insurance or whatever, his was a little anomalous because he was doing emergency management services.
Yeah, but
even
there
if
are a
you,
lot of things where you would
even
have to
if
get
you don't,
insurance.
Yeah. But yes. But even if you didn't, when somebody hires a consultant, they're paying a high hourly wage because they want results now more. And yes, you can take consulting assignments and take a break or not, but that's one of those things that's often hyped. Oh, you can do what, you know, you worked in human resources, you can be a consultant to human resources. It often isn't quite as easy as that, and I'm delighted that that person called. So let's go right back to the phones if we can. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko and Barbara Nemko. What is on your mind?
Marty, I wanted to ask you your opinion on something.
Sure.
Marty, I would like to go to like the thrift stores, Goodwill, Salvation Army, and other places where you could get different things, and maybe put them in a different spot, like, I don't know, maybe 24th and Mission, where there's a lot of traffic.
I think it's a great idea. You know, it's amazing how inexpensively you can buy stuff. I need to tell you a story. One of my very first clients decided he wanted to be self-employed, and what we came up with, this was back in the 80s, and in the 80s, Levi's blue jeans were really hot. But people were changing them all the time. They grew fatter or skinnier, or they changed colors or whatever, and they would dump them at Goodwill, and they could be bought for a dollar. You know what this guy ended up doing with them? He put them on a container ship and sent and sold them in Russia, because Russia is always a year or two behind, so that which went to Goodwill, they could sell for $20, $30, $40. He got rich buying blue jeans at branded, because we live in a brand name world, brand name jeans at Goodwill and Salvation Army and St. Vincent de Paul, and selling them in Russia. So you have my total support about this idea.
Marty, just one other thing. You might not believe in prayer, but I think my 50 rosaries and my 24 novenas and the pilgrimage to Rome, I think it might have helped. My prayers have been answered. You're back on the radio.
Whoa. What a nice thing to say.
Boy, that is so nice. I'm giving you a metaphorical hug across the airwaves. Thanks very much for calling.
You're totally rocking, and so does your wife.
Hey, there you go. Now you're talking. Thanks a lot. Thank you a lot for calling.
Thank you so much for everything, Marty and Barbara.
You're welcome. Hey, Barb,
thank you.
I'm looking at the time go, so I like to keep promises. So let's talk about some things you can do in retirement that are not obvious. You got one, Barbara?
Yes, this is not one that you're going to make money on, but I think
yeah, this
it's
is
so
volunteering.
Worthwhile.
This is retirement, right?
Yeah, but retirement
that's fine.
Activities.
Yeah. But
so,
not we're not worried about money right anymore.
Schools have all kinds of needs for volunteers, and one that people don't think about that we have in Napa, for example, we have an adopt-a-school program. But principals don't have time to go out and find a partner who wants to adopt them, and businesses don't have time to go out and figure out which would be a good school. But you can work with the schools and go out and seek partners for Adopt-A-School and then kind of be the go-between for one school, which is not a full-time occupation by any means, but it's a fun thing to do and very rewarding for everybody concerned.
Okay, I think for the interest of time, I'm going to tick off a bunch, and if you have something you want to add or disagree, you're welcome to, okay? So, first of all, learning. You know, they often say that youth is wasted on the young. I remember when I was in college, my main goal was to get an A. It was not, I must admit, I read Cliff Notes at times.
Get an A, not a date?
I'm a nerd to the core.
Okay.
But I found time to date too, as you well know. So, but you know, when you're older in retirement, then you could learn for learning's sake. You're not worried about meeting the requirement. You're not worried about kissing up to get an A. You can finally take what you really are interested in doing. And now, because they're online, let's say you have some physical limitations if you're in retirement. There's so many great courses online, all with reader reviews. Other examples, of course, volunteering. But the most not obvious example of volunteering is nonprofit boards are often looking for people to be on the board to help plan the direction of the nonprofit.
That's a really good one.
Right. Or, you know, some people are religious. I may be an atheist, but not everybody is, and I certainly don't expect everybody to be. Being active in your religious institution, in its leadership, its stewardship, to use a Christian term. Theater. Community theaters are always looking for volunteers to participate. Yes, by acting. Probably you wouldn't get a starring role for a while if you haven't been on stage in a while. I saw a play last night, The Lovers, in Vallejo, with two older actors who were totally awesome. But you could also be building sets. You could be making costumes. You could be finding props. You could be helping with marketing, ticket sales, ushering, running the lights and sound. It's easier than you might think. It can be taught. You got to say something about theater. You're a theater person.
Oh, a million things that you can do. Even when the show is running, sometimes they need dressers.
Oh,
people have a very quick change between scenes, and they can't do it themselves. So just standing there and helping them get in and out of their costumes is very rewarding, especially for them. They don't want to go out half-dressed.
Exactly. Other kind of retirement activities. Maybe it's time to reveal your inner ham. How about singing at an open mic night? Start the shower
Assuming
first.
Assuming you can sing.
Yeah, no, I'm not recommending that for you or me.
Thank you.
Right. Or joining a choir. So many people don't have a voice that's good enough for solo singing, but you know, a choir, you know, is awesome. Oh, my God. I've just been handed another massive list of people who are thanking us for staying on the air. Oh, my God, and have donated to KLW to express that thanks. Oh, my God.
Thank you, people.
Let me do a few more of these, and then you make a couple comments, and then I'm going to thank these wonderful listeners and make a really special, truly last-minute, as they say, offer. You know, video. These days, you can make a YouTube video with just your webcam or a video camera, and there's free editing software. It's not that hard. Let's say maybe you want to teach something instructional, like teaching your child how to estimate. I remember at some point, I remember a kid who was getting A's in calculus, and she couldn't figure out how much change she would get for $10 from $10 after buying a six-pack of soda.
I remember it well.
Right. Or,
well, here's one that I'm learning from YouTube, how to do a simple time step in tap dancing.
Exactly.
It's absolutely marvelous because she breaks it down into such simple instructions, even I can learn it.
Absolutely. One more. Gardening is really, I mean, at the risk of sounding, you know, I don't know, spiritual here on a Sunday, you know, we use the term awesome all the time. But seeing the miracle of growth, whether it be, a baby growing in a mom's belly or plants or fruits or vegetables, it's a miracle. I plant tomato seeds in May, a stupid little seed, and by August or September, it is 6 feet tall with tons of delicious, organic, locally grown, sustainable tomatoes. What a great retirement activity. And if you make, my father used to plant 12 or 15 tomato plants every year, and you know what he, obviously, we, my mom and dad and I couldn't use them all. He would take them and we'd go door to door and give them to people. And if you need money, and you know, there's no greater way to build friendships. Or if you need money, you know, do like the version of the lemonade stand. You know, put those locally grown organic tomatoes, yummy beefsteaks in front of your house, and I bet you can make a few bucks as well. So there's all kinds of perhaps not obvious things that you can do in retirement. Do you want to get the last words? Is there one more you want to say?
Nope.
Okay. So first of all,
I want to say thank you.
Yeah, and there's a hell of a lot of people to say thank you to. I mean, this may be boring radio, but I don't care. I am so grateful for the people who supported Work with Marty Nemco with their dollars right now during these last few minutes. Really, there's only 5 minutes to say thank you for the responsive management of KALW, who had decided to take me off the air, take Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco off the air, and because of you, dear listeners, really changed his mind. Responsive, truly listener-supported radio. I'm going to read those names in a minute, but if you want to support Work with Marty Nemco and truly, truly listener-supported radio and KALW, non-commercial radio, $50 is the basic membership. $100 gets you the autographed copies of both of my new books that came out in 2017, The Best of Marty Nemco and Modern Fables. 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. And if you'd rather click than call, KALW.org. And now, the thank yous. These are all people who, in the last few minutes, have supported Work with Marty Nemco and listener-supported, truly supported, and manager-listening KALW. Clifford and Andrea Greenberg in Castro Valley. Norma Wallace in Richmond. Teresa Barbieri in San Francisco. John Michael Butler in Oakland. And thanking specifically for the station management being responsive to the listeners. Brian Shiratsuki from Berkeley. John Horupka in San Mateo. Ann McKillop in Mountain View. Alan Braver in Palo Alto. Beninda Taft-Kiewick in San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
Huntley Borad in San Francisco. Mark Watson in El Cerrito. Stefan Gruenwedel in San Francisco. And Joan Allen in Berkeley, all in the last few minutes. Talk about an engaged listenership. I am humbled. Barbie, say something, because I'm getting a little choked.
I'm going to give a donation, because I would like to thank the listenership. I would like, if they're donating, I want to donate too.
And I'm going to specify an amount. I'm going to donate, we're going to, $100 for each of us, $200 in support, not necessarily of Work with Marty Nemco, but of KALW and a responsive management.
Yes.
In a world that is so cold, where all of my job seekers are so frustrated that they will work their butts off to apply for a job, and they don't even get an answer, let alone the courtesy of a rejection letter. And here, a station like KELW responded immediately, changing their minds. That's worth my $200, our $200, 1-800-525-9917 or KALW.org. I think this is a good time for me just to end with a thank you to all of you for 28 years. It's now on October 1st. It'll be 28 years I've been on the air. And I think you can tell in my voice, I'm as honored to be doing this show now as 28 years from now. An honor that you would choose to listen, let alone support KALW. It's really, it's a privilege to do it. So many people who are in my age bracket are worried about becoming irrelevant. And to have this opportunity to know that every Sunday, and starting in middle October, it'll be moved to every Thursday at 7 o'clock to 8 p.m., that changes my life and hopefully gives me a sense that I'm going to continue to make contribution. Barbara,
and hope to change other people's lives.
Say something.
By helping them with
absolutely
their work life.
With our workovers, with the workovers we do on callers. 1-800-525-9917. This is the last chance. $50 basic membership. $100 gets you free copy of my book, my 2017 two books, Best of Marty Nemco and Modern Fables. And Barbara, my thanks and appreciation. Anything else you want? I want you to get the last word, Barbara.
That means I get two books.
Right. Say something else, please. I'd like you to get the last word. I've talked too much.
To everyone who's listening, if there are specific ways in which we have helped you, we would be happy to know what they are. Make sure that we come back to those kinds of things in terms of what we're talking about on the air.
Great idea. So when you call, if there's something you'd like us to see us talk about or guests you'd like to see us have, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, and we'll certainly send you, we'd be happy to send you autographed copies of my books and my profound thanks. And that is Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco for this week. I want to thank to my board operator, Joanne Marr. Appreciate you as always. And of course, most of you, most of all, to all of you for listening and for calling in and for donating at 1-800-525-9917. Please join me again next Sunday at 11. I will do workovers on callers. And MIT-trained artist Ben Wood is going to be really honest and tell us about an artist's travails, his successes, and his lessons learned. Until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemco for Barbara Nemco, reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.